This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Manscaped, Talkspace, HelloFresh, and Stamps.com. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studio. I am Ryan Sickler. RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. I can't thank you all enough, for real. Like, moving into this space, we're a couple months in now, and I appreciate every single one of you for your support. It means the world. So if you're new here, or even if you just haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You get the audio on Mondays. You get the video on Tuesdays, all right? Make sure you're subscribed to the Patreon as well, The Honeydew with y'all. That's where I'm highlighting the lowlights with y'all, okay? So if you think you have a story that needs to be heard, or you know someone that's just got that fucking story, email me at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And look, we got a lot of emails, but we're getting through them, and we'll get you on and do an episode with y'all. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Facebook fan page, all the social media stuff. The website is thehoneydewpodcast.com. That is where you get the merch. And Nightpants Nation, I can't thank you all enough for cutting the legs off and making them night shorts. You guys are buying the shit out of the night. It is hot this year. It's like extra hot. So stay comfy, stay cool. Get your hoodies for the fall, whatever you want. It's all over there. And as you know, I say all the time where I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center. We just officially got windows, y'all. We just officially got some windows in. Been a few months, but we got the glass. So very excited to have that in, and thank you all for your support there. If you guys are looking for lessons for yourself, your kids, whatever, you want to be trained by a kick-ass Los Angeles musician, go to santamonicamusic.com. Use the code Honeydew. They'll waive the registration fee. They'll give you a free lesson when you sign up for a package. All right? That's all the biz right there. Now, as you know what we do here every week, we highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. I am very excited to have our guest here today. First time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brett Ernst, y'all. All right.
What's up, kid? It's so weird, like, how we got to be, not formal, but it's like we've known each other so long.
I know. Then you got to throw the cash. What's up, kid? How you doing?
I gotta say, man, this is phenomenal, bro. I'm very proud of you, man.
I appreciate it.
Really, I really am. And this is how'd you come up with Honeydew? You probably explained that already.
Yeah, a bunch. But long story short,
do you need me to Google it? Or
no. Long story short, I'm sitting at the diner having dinner one night. They bring the fruit cup. I eat everything in it but the honeydew. And not because I hate honeydew. I just don't fuck with the honeydew. And as I walk out, I see honeydew scattered on all these tables. And I was like, huh. It's a perfectly good fruit that a lot of people just throw away. And then it hit me that I'm a honeydew. I'm a human honeydew. And so are you. Well, and so are all these people that come on here and share their
stories. I feel that way about Old Bay seasoning. Like, I can't stand Old Bay. I think that's the worst shit
proud
ever.
Proud sponsor.
Hey, guys, that's my time. I know you guys fucking love that shit in Baltimore, bro.
It's a flagship sponsor here.
Is it really? No, I was going to say.
I wish.
Every time I'm in Baltimore, man.
I put it on everything.
I know, dude. You do.
Tuna, eggs, everything. All seafood, all fish, chicken, all of it. I just always Old Bay and shit. Always, bro. That's our hot sauce. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why they made a hot sauce. I just bought a 64-ounce gallon of hot sauce. Look, anyway. It is great to have you here. We're going to talk about some shit today, but before we do, please promote everything you want to promote.
August 28th, Cobra Kai is going to go to Netflix. So we were on YouTube Premium for the first two seasons. So,
oh, it was exclusive to the YouTube Premium?
Yeah, it was
only?
Like their first flagship show. Okay. And then, so I'm going around just, you know, trying to push that. It's going to Netflix. So
both seasons?
Yeah, and then they're going to release season three once everybody's caught up. Because we already shot season three.
On Netflix?
On
Netflix. Okay.
Well, no, it was still with YouTube Premium, but they just bought all three. They're going to stream it now.
Got it.
And then hopefully, you know, season four comes.
But, that's great.
And then also, check out my special. I'm at 2.6 million views now. But I put it on YouTube, man. And
you're one of the earliest guys to do that.
Yeah, dude.
You Here's what I love. They say no to everybody. We were talking about this. Yeah. You, Schultz, Joe List is Mark Norman. All you guys are putting it out. Hold on. Sam Morrill, all these guys putting it out there right now. Go check all these specials out. Well, Brett's the one of the funniest, just let me say it, the funniest goddamn bits you will ever see is the roller skating bit. I know you're probably sick of it, whatever. It is the funniest bit. And I take my daughter roller skating now, and there's no way.
Are kids roller skating now?
Well, not right now, but prior to this, yeah. we go to the old school rink. We go to Moonlight Rollerway. I still got it. I'm still out there.
You're doing the shuffle.
I'm stepping over and shit. I never could backwards skate, but I'm stepping over and shit. I'm still throwing it up to the weird DJ, you know, give him some love. But I can't not think about that guy. Because I would always be a bigger guy, would pick you up and shit and move you. And even as a, you know what I mean? Remember that guy? And even as a 10-year-old, I felt like as a man, I'm like, motherfucker, don't move. But I couldn't do shit about it. He's like 19.
Put your hands around my waist.
And move me.
I'm 10, man. I'm still a dude. No, but here's the thing, man. Is what I was saying is that now, you know, here's the silver lining. And, you know, look. There's that dirty little secret in Hollywood with the white guys, you know, that there's no more white males. We're not doing it, you know. Which, by the way, I wasn't white enough when white dudes were in. And I'm not brown enough when white guys aren't in. Personally, my problem was I was never good with social media. You know what I mean? That was just my thing. But what's beautiful now is that all the comedy is back where it belongs, and that's underground. I always thought,
and also in the hands of the comedians,
and the fans,
absolutely. That's, you know, where it should be. One and two, like
comedy's punk rock, dude. It's, you know, it's underground, man. It's underground hip hop. It's things that we're supposed to be saying, or you know, you're not afraid to say, you know, depending on which, it doesn't matter. You know, we're contrarians by nature. But anyways,
For all the time on our end, we feel like that industry or the whatever keeps us from the fans that we know would love this shit if they got it.
Say what you said earlier about the group that used to be there.
There's always been, and then we're going to get into your lowlights, but there's always been this wall, you know, this huge wall of managers, agents, bookers, whatever, saying, well, I'm not saying you're not funny, but we're going to let this one over and this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. You just stay right there. Well, what these people, men and women that were put here did was build fucking armies and went right through that goddamn wall. I was like, fuck you. And then prove not only to everyone else, but themselves that they were right all along. These mm-hmm. gatekeepers are they've never set foot on a foot. Why am I listening to anything you have to fucking say? Until you get up on that stage for an hour and fucking rock a mic for 2,500 fucking people, don't even tell me anything. Or better yet,
stand in line for 15 years.
That's right.
You know, but
hold on, let me say this, because this is important, because I recently thought of this too. Like, we always see it as, man, I want to get to the fans. I want to get to the fans. And these people, I have the best fucking fans. I have the greatest fucking fans. And you don't ever look at it like their side, like, well, this is all you're going to give us? You know what I mean? Like, this is it. I know there's got to be a million other things, but this is all we get, you know? So I've never looked at it like that side of they're happy that we did what we did and got figured a way around.
But, you know, listen, man.
Don't listen to anybody. Hear me? Don't listen to anybody. Do what the fuck you want to do.
Yeah, I always say you don't need permission to exist.
Nope.
But, it just seemed that, like, I came out here just to entertain, you know? And then they start asking you about your politics. And what the fuck's that matter? You know, and then it's almost like they're checking the wrong boxes. You know, the boxes that should be checked. Are they talented? Are they funny? You know,
do the fans love it?
I'm saying it. Are they good? Are they charismatic? I mean, you know, what actors used to be. Now it's just, you know, it's what gender, what, you know, blah. And they just check in the wrong boxes sometimes. And it just doesn't make any sense. And by the way, I'm okay with the equality thing. But at the same time, then get the good equality in.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there's some comics out there that, like you know, like Corey Holcomb, dude. Like, that guy's fucking unbelievable.
He is.
You know what I mean? And not saying he hasn't created his own niche, too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure has.
But, I mean, there's comics that comics know that, like, when that dude's on stage, you're like, yo, this motherfucker is just a beast, man. You know, and but thank God for the internet. I mean, because let's just say we didn't have one. Would we? I mean, I know Joe Diaz was in move, but would we have had Uncle Joey the way we have Uncle Joey?
Would all of us would be all out of us there? Be out have there? Anything? This and, show no, wouldn't be there.
They would
none
have fucking
it.
Canceled us 8 years ago.
Yes.
They said, nah, you know what? We're going another way. But look, it is a business, and we know that. So, you know, I'm not mad at it. I'm just saying, I think this is a good thing. And that's my original statement, is that now comedy is where it needs to be. It's a consumer-based thing, and you know, the good is good, and it's punk rock, and it's not pop comedy anymore. And you know, you can go get some real shit now.
Yeah, you can. You can enjoy whatever.
Porn and comedy is the best it's ever been.
Porn is killing it. Porn is always.
But I'm saying it's accessibility is better. You don't need a videotape that we have to hand around and rewind. And
at this point now, if you have an idea, then you got to figure out how to do it yourself. Because if I'd have pitched this show to any network, like I told you, they'd have said no. If Tom Segura would have pitched Your Mom's House to a network, they'd have told him fuck no.
Right.
But look where they are. So no, anyway,
yeah, there's no excuses, man.
Let's talk about you now. We go back a long ways. You originally are Florida.
No, Jersey originally.
Okay, Jersey originally. But Florida was your Florida. Okay. Yeah. So give me a brief background on family, and let's talk about, because I really want to talk about your brother. I love that you include him in your stand up. I love that you don't shy away from any of that stuff. Because just go ahead. Start with your
upbringing. Well, I was born in New Jersey, mm-hmm. and then, well, I went to 15 different schools, one high
15?
School. Yeah, I was always moving.
Were you, was it, why?
You know, single mom bullshit.
Okay.
And then,
it wasn't military or anything like that.
No,
okay.
No, man, fuck no. Nothing productive. I mean, look, man, you know, there's periods in my life, like six is when everything goes south, but, you know, we were always moving. And then, and sometimes, like, they'd switch zones on you, and you had to get bussed in, and, you know, that type of shit. And then, I spent my 4 years in Plantation High School in Fort Lauderdale. So that was where I spent I was fortunate to go to one high school. My older brother went to three, and that sucked. But I went to three middle schools, and then the rest elementary. But what was different in Florida, elementary was sixth, seventh, eighth. But then we moved back to Jersey. Then I was back. I mean, middle school was sixth, seventh, and eighth. Then we moved back to Jersey, and then I went back to elementary because middle school was seventh and eighth. So it was always moving and stuff, you know. But, I mean, yeah.
How many brothers do you have, two?
I have two. Well, I also have a step-older brother.
Okay.
And a step-older sister. So
I've never heard anybody drop the older after the step. It's usually an older step-brother or an older step. You said step-older brother and step-older sister.
Well, I'm also stupid, so. Not that bright. Never
so
claimed to be.
Your mom raised three kids on her own?
Yeah. Then I had a stepfather later on.
All right. So what age are you when your dad splits? Or do you never meet your dad?
I knew my father. I mean, I remember him at six. That's the worst because I'm the middle. Like, I don't know if it's worse not knowing him.
Right.
Or just remembering
How much younger is your younger brother?
Keith was three when my parents split. And then my brother was 10. My older brother. But okay. My older brother was more like my father figure. Because my older brother, you know, he took the burden of everything. So he raised everybody, you know. Like, he was always, my mom was always working, so he was always there, you know.
In what ways? Like, was he, like, after you after school?
Yeah, he taught me how to ride a bike, shit like that.
Your older brother, your 10-year-old? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he put me on and just pushed the motherfucker.
But
taught me how to swim the same way, too. You know what I mean?
So you guys got really close because your mom's always working.
Yeah.
You latchkey kids and bouncing around.
Just like everybody in our era.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big thing in the 70s and 80s.
I don't think that exists now. Maybe it does, but not like it did. Latchkey kids. I think social services come pick your ass up.
I have a theory, man, is that, like, our parents were raised where, you know, they always talked about the lights came on, you came home. And that's how we were raised. But the difference was, when they were outside in the 50s and then being outside in the 80s are two different outsides. So they raised us the same way they were raised, but our outsides were way different.
And that's why we don't let our kids go outside.
That's what I'm saying. That's like right now.
Yeah.
You have parents that are like, hell nah, man. I don't want to. My kid's going to come across a crack addict that's jerking off in front of them.
Exactly.
No, yeah. Like our shit was crazy.
2020 man. Kids are not outside kids.
Dude,
man.
I used to tell my ex-wife, man, because she was younger than me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
They are not. I'm like, why aren't you outside riding your bike? Oh, yeah, because 12 people try to kidnap you on the way to the park. Man. Yeah.
Dude, we had this dude, man, and Matty Fontana talked about this, but where, like, there was a guy that used to, like, jerk off in front of kids, but everybody would be like, you know, you'd get in trouble. Be like, why the fuck did you go over there?
You know that's what he does.
You know what I mean? Just go over that way. It's your fault. You know what I mean? It's your fault. But I used to tell my ex-wife this because she was younger than me by like almost 15 years. I said, when we were kids, no bullshit, we could go to the corner store and I could buy cigarettes and wine for my mom. And then you just walk in.
They weren't even behind the counter. They were right out here by the candy bars and shit. That's how we used to steal all the time. My buddy had the best method. I say it all the time. He would walk up. He grabbed two. Walk around a store, slip one in his pocket, be like, I'm not going to buy that. Put one back, buy a big gulp, bounce. He batted 1,000 on that. Mm-hmm. And then when they moved him behind the register, that was all she wrote. But yeah, we could. My 9th grade year in high school, we had a smoking lounge. We had a fucking smoking lounge. If you were under 18, you had to get your parents' permission to smoke cigarettes.
Dude, they used to bring guns, man. They had like a sharpshooters club where motherfuckers... Like, whoa. Kids in high school were bringing guns and shit, and they were, like, shooting.
Where you going with that gun? I got competition at 2:30. All right.
They literally had those clubs, man. Yeah. But, it was just a different thing. So we were always outside, man. Always into something, man. Always.
And what else I like about our generation, too, is that video games came during then, and we weren't just sucked into them. At least we had a good balance. We were like, let's go out.
Well, the graphics kind of sucked.
Yeah, they did, but still, it was new. When Double Dribble had that, I was like, what the? But now,
kids are making
fucking money, you know, making careers out of these games.
But see, now, there's an interesting study on this. It's the gap, like, okay, my grandparents' music and my mom's music were totally different. My mom's music and our music were totally different. We're still in the motherfucking hip hop era.
Yeah.
Like we're listening to the same music, dude. You know what I'm saying? That our kids are.
I still listen to Run DMC. I still listen to
But I'm
to
saying
Eric
we have
Rock
an older
Kim.
Taste, but we're also listening to Kendrick Lamar and stuff the kids are listening to. Yep. And Post we're also Malone, still the video game generation. Like I just was getting my ass kicked by my niece and
yeah, I know.
She's still playing Mario Dustin, Kart. Yeah, it's fucking awful. It's annoying. She's 10, and I'm literally like, I won like four. I got four races I won. But anyway, so.
Also, what's interesting about our generation is that we're the first generation that's getting older online. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, these kids were, it started when we were in 96.
Right.
And then you can literally look back at us and go. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Like, you ever get your Facebook memories?
Yeah, that's what
you're
I'm
like,
saying.
Like, that looks nothing like me. Who is that guy?
I literally had the thought the other day. I saw somebody updated their profile picture, and I was like, he looks good, man. He's getting older. He looks good as he's getting older. And I'm thinking as he's getting, because we're watching it unfold. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the first people that didn't have this shit. Like, you got to go back prior to what, at 96, I'm 23, prior to, like, let's just say 2000, before social media got big or whatever, you got to go look at hard copy photos to see what I look like before that. You can't just scroll your thumb up and look back at my baby pictures. You know what I mean?
Now, do you think, too, like, I don't know, man, are people printing these photos, though? Are they just going to live in cyberspace? Because we used to have albums.
Yeah.
You know, which you had, bro. But I don't know if people do that nowadays.
Nah, they just look on their phone or drop it to you, you know?
Airdrop. But I'm saying, if it's not on your phone, does anybody ever see them again? I mean,
it goes on social media. If they don't follow you, that's it.
But let's just say it all fucking goes away. The last 25 years are gone.
Yeah, it's a fire. It's a fire. It's like our fire.
Yeah, when you had a house fire, everything was fucking gone. All those
lost
memories
all
gone.
The pictures, but we lost all the albums, everybody.
You know what I mean? Like, your shit collapses. That's it. You got 25 years. You're just a grown man now. They don't see anything. Middle school, none of that shit.
Your trophies aren't proof. Nothing.
Nothing.
Bro. Shit. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Manscaped. Do you have a moose near the caboose that needs to be tamed? I'm talking hairy, big, and needs some support. Thankfully, our sponsor today, Manscaped, has you covered to keep the hair looking nice and trimmed and feeling fully supported. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. I don't know about you guys, but I've been down there before trying to work it. You know what I mean? Like, it's basically, it looked like I had a weed whacker down there. My taint was all tattered. It was bloody, beat up. You don't, come on. You're trying to look nice, and then you're taking yourself out of commission. Don't be like me. The Manscaped engineering team just perfected the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, the Lawnmower 3.0. The Premium Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof. It includes an LED light, and it's made with advanced skin-safe technology, which reduces nicks and cuts on your delicates. You can get this trimmer inside their Perfect Package 3.0, which also includes the Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and the Crop Reviver Ball Tone and Spray, both super practical, and they smell great too. Plus, for a limited time, when you order the Perfect Package Kit, you get two free gifts, just like balls, two of them, the Shed Travel Bag and the Manscaped Anti-Chafing Boxer Brief. The Manscaped Boxer Briefs have optimal temperature control with their crop cooling technology while keeping your pride and joy supported. You got to try this out for yourself, all right? You can get 20% off and free shipping right now with code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code HONEYDEW. From the moose to the caboose, always use the right tools for the job. Our next sponsor is Talkspace. Now, if you've been waiting for months to figure out what your future is going to look like, you're not alone. Between the uncertainty, the waiting for answers, and the everyday stressors of work, school, homeschool, and relationships and more, it is a lot to balance. But if anything helps reduce stress and anxiety, it's talking things out. All right. Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationship issues, and more. If you have something specific you want to work on right now, they will find someone right for you. They're affordable. Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy, but with Talkspace, you can send unlimited messages to your therapist and they'll engage with you at least 5 days a week. And that just means you never have to wait to share what's on your mind. They have a therapist network. All Talkspace therapists have experience treating depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, relationship issues, food and eating, and so much more. They're very secure and private. They use the latest encryption technology to store client information. Now, the bottom line is that we all need someone to talk to, and Talkspace wants to give the licensed support we deserve at a price we can afford. And as a listener of this podcast, you can get $100 off your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure to use the code HONEYDEW to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's HONEYDEW and Talkspace.com. Now, let's get back to the dude. All right, let's talk more about your brother raising you. Because,
well, it was more like we were very close. You know, it wasn't until, like, you know, puberty hits that people go the different ways a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, because that's the other thing. When you're the, see, I love being the middle. A lot of people don't like that, but I did, because I was both a younger brother and an older brother.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, me personally, I like being an older brother, you know. But, you know, there's that time when, like, you're interested in girls and then your little brother still wants to go play, you know, football. You're right. Like, yo, man, I'm wearing cologne. I'm 12. I'm trying to get laid here. Now, the difference is that when my older brother was hitting puberty, he was liking dudes.
Uh-huh.
So he was gay. But, you know, that.
When did you realize that?
Fuck, we always knew.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, I always knew. I didn't know, you know. You know what's funny, too, man, is that, like, whenever you look at them. And again, I have a tendency to, and I think everybody does this, but I have a tendency to say things based on, like, the way I was raised and the people I was around.
A
like,
lot
like
of
for
do.
Instance,
yeah.
But when I hear, like, those the white kids that they're always like, you know, racism starts at home, and you need my mother. I didn't have the. I'm sorry, you had a fucking shitty family. My mother wasn't like that. I wasn't raised around that. Even with the gay thing, nobody fucking cared.
That's what I wanted to ask you, because you're definitely a dude's dude. And there's a lot of stereotypes that go into that. So had you known anybody else that was gay or anyone else in the family?
No, but you know what's funny is, like, when he came out, he was more afraid of me to know. But because I was always saying.
He didn't think you'd accept it?
No, I was always saying faggot as a kid. But when you're a young kid, faggot doesn't mean faggot. It just means, yay, stop being a fag. It meant more like stop crying or whatever.
Being a bitch.
But, you know, you don't know that as a little boy. I'm saying it all the time. And he's thinking, you know, he's feeling weird. You say, come on, man, stop being gay. But it doesn't mean gay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he was always around that. And the way kids would talk and the way I would talk. But, you know, it's no ill intentions.
Right.
It's just how you talk back then. But now I understand, you know, but
did your mom have any conversations with you guys about that at all?
We just fucking waited. It was more for him. Like, you know, he never really.
So you guys were just waiting for him to be comfortable enough to come out.
Yeah. You know, it was just like, all right. Well, yeah, we had and to, then how did we had do to it? Act shocked.
No.
Really? We had no idea. You had the whole family fooled, you know? None of us figured that out, bro.
You had the whole family. Bro.
Those pictures of Marilyn Monroe on your wall really fucking.
What do you remember how he did it? How old was he?
He was like 18 or 19.
Okay, so he did wait.
He was finally waiting, but you know, it just came to the point to where if he didn't do it, I was going to say, bro, come on, man.
You know, but was he dating? Was he happy? Was he?
Yeah. Well, see, he got AIDS pretty young.
He did.
Yeah. So
how old was he?
I think he had to have been, so let's see, 23? Yeah, 23.
But just going back a little bit before that, through high school, did he ever, did he date?
Here's the crazy part. Like when we were kids, he always hit on my girlfriends. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a kid, this is hilarious too, man. There was this kid that was on our block that they used to fucking fool around.
Your brother and him?
Yeah, but this guy was like, you know, he was like the big dick, you know, like he was a jerk, like a bully and everything. But he was really the guy that, my brother said, yeah, man, I used to fucking, you know, as we got older, you know, he would tell me stuff. But
the big bad bully was. Yeah.
That guy could suck a
your
dick.
Your brother's like, that guy sucked a good dick. Do you know how that would change the game of bullying if you could have that inside information?
Hey, you remember so-and-so? Yeah, man. Yo,
you mean that guy that used to beat the shit out of everybody?
That guy's asshole whistles. Remember the dude that stole your bike? Yeah, man. Yeah, I didn't beat him up. I just fucking... I made him pay, though.
But
there was like, he would always tell me shit too, like later on, like, you know, so-and-so's gay, this celebrity's gay. Cause we're fast forwarding a little bit. So, you know, he eventually, you know, we figured it out. But then when he started dating, like anything, like he was with girls before.
So when he told you guys, do you remember where you were?
Did
he do a family thing or just talk to each of you?
Like,
or?
We were all like, I think we were in the kitchen. It just, I don't remember.
And it was so nothing to you because y'all had known.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, dude. You know what I mean? But now that's when the fun starts.
But also, of course. Right. Now, when in our types of families. No, but
that's when it gets busting.
Is
like
now,
my stepfather was like old school Guido, right? And he would have conversations with him about, you know, like he couldn't figure out like if they, he would say shit like, okay, say you, cause he had a couple boyfriends that, you know, they would come over for family dinner. I got a great story.
Yeah. I want to hear about the guys.
He would be like, he'd be like, hey, so if you two go out, like who pays? Like he couldn't fathom.
He couldn't even
get the dynamic. He'd be like, so if he gets in a fight, do you run?
Yeah, run.
You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah,
type
are you
of
getting
shit.
A car? What are you doing?
So he was dating this one guy that was a doctor, man. And he came over. He would come over every Sunday. And then he came over one day and he wasn't there. So he's like, yeah, you know, we broke up, whatever. And you just hear him go, oh, me, the guy's a doctor. What are you doing?
Right? Now he's all about it.
We had a doctor here.
Now he's all about it.
But we would, you know, there was.
What are you doing?
I got to say something, man. And all of, you know, the shit that happens in life, I'm very, 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 very blessed to have one of the funniest and most loving families, man. Even my grandmother, everybody, man. My grandfather didn't give a fuck. My mom wanted to be a nun, man, you know? And it's just always, we never had none of that, you know? Everybody was fucking really cool, man. I'm not going to lie.
I had the same, like, my upbringing was just shit, but God, the family members were the ones awesome. That good ones were awesome and funny as fuck. Mm-hmm. Just naturally funny. Just the way they, you know, you remind me a lot of my cousins and shit. It's why I laugh so hard when listening to you. You're so much like them. So, all right. So.
But my older brother was very stoic. So, like, you know, he took a brunt in the family. Now, there was a time when me and him did not get along at all. At all. Like, he was mad at me. And he told me later on, I said, dude, what the fuck's your problem, man?
Yeah, and why? Why didn't you get along?
Because I made fun of him one time outside.
In front of people?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I explain to him. Then you forget, oh, yeah, dude, you're gay. It wasn't even about being gay. It was about being overweight. Because my brother gained pounds when he was like 12. He took his shirt off. I called him like Dolly Parton or something. Meanwhile, by the time he was 18, he was fucking shredded. My older brother was stunning.
Was he?
Yeah. Every girl that came over, like, put you like this, man. When you have a gay older brother, and I used to talk about this on stage, it's like having a big sister whose clothes you can wear, right? Because he knew how to dress. But then all his friends would be hot girls and they always would ask, do you have a brother? Or, you know, like I had a shit ton of first dates because they'd be like, yeah. And Scott would be like, yeah, I do. But, you know, we're not the same because, you know, my brother was he wasn't rough around the edges like me and my little brother were. Because me and my little brother were always out there, bro. Always hustling. Always. My older brother was more the, you know. He took the role of like a parent almost for us. So it was like, he was like a father figure to me and my little brother was my best friend, my partner in crime. Me and my little brother did everything. But my older brother, I always used to say he was like a fourth quarter guy. All the little shit, he'd lose his mind. But when shit hit the fan, dude, stoked.
That was the guy.
Like when my father died and my brother had to come get me and let me know, you know, how they found him and everything. He didn't cry.
How old was he when you
told
me?
He was 10. Jeez. No, wait, I'm sorry. Scotty was 14. I was 10.
Still, that's a ninth grader.
But he was standing there and, you know, and I would hear him cry at night because we all shared the same room, right? It was me, my little brother, and him in one room, you know, most of my life. So that's another reason why we were always fighting.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, you're on top of each other, going through puberty, going through all this shit.
But me and my little brother were never like that. We both loved football. It was Scott had there was a difference, obviously, man. I mean, which again, man, you just once you get a certain age, you don't care. But you know, there are those times. But then, like, I would hear him crying at night, but he would never cry in front of us, you know.
So what happened when he got sick?
My brother? Yeah. Well, he was pretty healthy for a while, man. And it's like when he got what was fucked up is you ever see the Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah, yeah.
So I used to have to take him. There was a dude in Miami we used to get his shit from. And then
and that helped for a while?
Yeah, man. Because those AIDS cocktails are like, they were like $10,000 a month at one point.
A month?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that that's crazy.
But here's what else is fucked up is that at the time, this is why I would never, it's not that I have political affiliations, but it's why I'm independent. Like the Republicans at that time, they cut the money. So basically it was like, if you were healthy and you're doing well, then they said, okay, you're fine. But the only reason why you're healthy is because of that shit.
Right.
So
you would take him to go get this cocktail?
I would take him, we'd have to go get those fucking cocktails, man. But here's the fucked up part. I used to blame the political parties and the government. But the reality is if they allocated $1 trillion, those fucking medical companies will find a way to spend that whole trillion.
Of course.
So now all of a sudden it'll double. You know, it was an endless amount of money that eventually it runs out. So I had a little animosity towards that shit for a while, you know.
But when did you find out he was sick?
Did he tell you? That was, I'll tell you, I could tell you exactly where I was, man. Because I came in, I fucking knew, man.
How old are you?
21, 22.
All right.
Right? I don't know, man. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. I was working in the nightclubs at the time, so I had to have been over 21. Maybe 20, 19, 20 maybe. I don't know.
And where were you?
You know, Scotty was 24, so I'd have been 20. I was in Florida. But I knew something was wrong, man. And the dude gave it to him on purpose. He gave it to like six guys on purpose.
No.
Yeah. And my brother's the only one that went to his deathbed and forgave him.
Really?
Yeah. And if he didn't die before my brother, I would have fucking, he would have died eventually.
That guy died too?
Yeah, he died before your brother. But what was fucked up is my brother saw the strain, because there's like different strains. So the way that guy went out, Scott knew that's the way he was going to go out. But if that guy wouldn't have died, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
I would have fucking killed that motherfucker, bro. I was angry at him for a while because he pretty much murdered him, man.
I mean, if you're killing six people intentionally like that, yeah.
I got over it. You know, I mean, now at the time I was angry. I mean, you know, you look at it as an adult and my brother forgave him. And it's like, you know, people go through things.
How old was your brother when he died?
Scotty was 33, age of Jesus, 33. So he lived with it for a minute, man. And he was pretty healthy. But when it hit hard. Because my father was 30. So, my father was 38 when he killed himself. And my brother was 33.
All right. So hold on.
Go ahead.
This cocktail is what kept him healthy up until the end? Was that a big part of it?
Huge, man. But see, again, I'm Catholic, man. I believe in God, Jesus, you know. My brother did too. And and there was a little kid that got hit by a car, right, in front of Scott. This was in Miami. So he ran over and he's holding the little kid. And he just said to God, he said, listen, I'm going to switch with him. But, you know, take me and not him. And then he started getting sick.
Right after that?
Yeah. Now, my brother.
Did that kid live?
Yeah. But here's the funny part.
I'm waiting for it here.
See, like, my brother had the ultimate sense of humor, man. You know, like, he had a dark sense of humor. Then he's like, after he found out the kid was alive, he's like, God, you know, like, I wish.
Hey, yeah.
Fuck.
Maybe I shouldn't have signed that contract.
Dude, nah, my brother was dude, when I tell you, that motherfucker was funny, man. I'm glad he saw me do comedy, though.
He did. I wanted to ask. He got to?
Yeah, he got to see me do it, man. I was doing it about 3 or 4 years because he died in 01. I had to come all the way home, man.
So what was that like?
It's fucking awful, bro. But I went up on. I went up.
Did you
that
get to
night.
Say goodbye?
Oh fuck yeah, man! I never left his side. Bro. Okay, I lost everything, all my money.
So you came home before? Not. I was you didn't in LA. Get the call that he's gone. You came
no,
back.
No,
okay.
No, my mom. See, this is the. We're all over the place again. He was fucking healthy, and then it hit hard. Then he went in. I will say this, man. By the way, if I get choked up, you edit that motherfucker out.
No, we're not doing that.
No, you got to. What? No. I'll laugh. I'll tell you what's fucked up about it, man. So the first time he was in, I'll tell you what fucked with me. Because, you know, you got to deal with your mom.
So you say in. So it was
the hospital.
But does he? Okay, go there first.
So he's dying like we thought he was out. Because this motherfucker could fuck. My brother was strong, dude. Look up this. Our cousin, like my family, my dad's family. Is extremely strong. Like I was strong when I played ball. I was a strong.
Yeah,
kid.
I've seen your old pictures though. You look
my
like a
older
goddamn
brother
Chippendale.
Was stronger than me. Now, if you look up Google, a guy named Greg Ernst. He's the world's strongest man. Like that. This is my father's side. My grandfather was just a freakishly strong guy. My brother was a fucking strong all the way around. Strong jawline, just strong. So he wasn't going right. So. The first time we thought he was gone, right? And the nurses were there. And then my mom was freaking out. So this fucked me up. I had to get his suit to get clean. The one we're going to bury the motherfucker in. So that pisses you off.
Yeah.
But then he came back. Right?
Wait, he made a comeback?
Yeah. He didn't die. And then he was getting better. Now, he had gotten sick before when then he got better.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came out, he's like, Brett, I want to talk to you. And I said, what? And he said, look, man, if I go back in, I can't beat it. And the motherfucker went back in like a week later. Then
he actually said that to you?
Yeah. Then I was like, all right. But like, I had to talk him over. He wouldn't go. He was in the room. He wouldn't go, man. So I had to talk him over.
You know? Well, you talked him through it?
Yeah. I told him to die. I said, bro, you can leave, man. I got mom. Oh. Don't worry about it, you know. So that part kind of, you know.
And you were there on his last breath?
Yeah. Well, I went downstairs. But, yeah, I got to tell you something, man. And I know people don't understand this. When you're in these situations, that's how you know there's a God. And it's not that you want to believe it. Shit starts to happen. So I was downstairs with my grandmother. And then I knew right away. I said, we got to get upstairs. I swear. walked in the room and my mom was crying. And then, I mean, I don't want to get into details with it, but there's a death rattle. There's like a final breath, but but then there's a tear. He cried.
He did.
Yeah. But you, there's a term for that in Italian. You know how the Guineas are. We fucking have all that, you know, superstitious shit or whatever. But there's a word for that. So if there's any Italian people. Anyways, so then I spent time with him, you know, alone. We got to talk a little, but I kind of knew. So here's the crazy part, man. I was in La Jolla at the Comedy Store. That night I got on stage, by the way. That fucking night. Yeah. That fucking night. Didn't even talk about it. I just went on stage, man. I just had to. And then, you know, my little brother was home and everybody was there. The room was comfortable, man. It was fucking comfortable. We had music playing for him. Gloria Estefan came.
Came?
Yeah, because my brother was so gay, he was a backup dancer for her.
Yeah, I swear. How do you leave that?
Wait, you want to hear a great story? Hold on.
Yeah. Hold on. How so, the fuck do you leave
out? Well, she was, dude, when she...
He's part of the rhythm that got me.
Because my brother was in Miami in South Beach, which was like the gay heaven in the 90s and early... like from mid-90s to like early 2000s, it was like shit. So when she came there to visit him. And but here's a great story. So... I'm a huge Cowboy fan. My little brother, I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan. So one of the Super Bowl between the Niners and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was a dancer at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
So he had on like this fucking headdress and shit, right? And he's with his friends, and he goes, oh my God, there's Tom Landry, right? And they're like, who? So he goes over and he wants to go to Tom Landry. He's like, hi. He's like, can you give me... My brothers would die if I could get an autograph from you. I got another one.
You and your brother are so different than him, yet he's at the Super Bowl where you wish you could fucking be, but he's there doing that. Dude, that is fucking hilarious.
Another time.
Tom Landry, that goddamn hat had to be looking at him like, who the fuck is...
Dude, another time. This is even funny. I got two of these. So, you know, listen, man. My friends didn't give a fuck. Nobody gave a fuck. And if they did give a fuck, it would be like nobody was ever like you see in the movies. And my friends were fucking, you know, I had a rough crew of guys I used to run with back in the day. Remember, this is during the beeper days.
Yeah.
So I'm out with my crew, whatever. I get the page. And you remember you had your own code?
Mm-hmm.
So it was... a number, and Scotty had his code. Then it was a 911.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, fuck. So I run to the payphone, right? I used to have a dialer we used to sell it like dialers where like you would put, if you put it to the bottom of the phone, it would make a noise like a coin dropping. So,
oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, so like the phone would read that. Hustle. Yeah, yeah. And it was so loud, I couldn't fucking get it. So now I got to run and get change, you know?
Yeah.
Remember when you would call somebody collect? Or when you would tell the operator that you were disconnected, when can you get your change back? Remember that shit? It's a long story for him. I said, listen, man, because I was in Sunrise. He was all the way down on Broward Boulevard. He said, yo, bro, there's some dudes in a parking lot that are waiting to fuck, you know, to beat people up. You know, though, like they were gay bashing or whatever. Because that was a thing. You know, people would beat the fuck out of them for fun. They thought it was fun.
Unfortunately, it's still a thing.
And my brother goes, I need you, you know, he said, look, because my brother could fight. He wasn't a bitch.
Yeah,
but he's
I'm
like,
saying.
Man, I can't. He goes, yo, I can't. These dudes can't back me. Like, his friends ain't fucking.
The rest of the fucking sound machine ain't going to be helping my ass.
The rest of the sound machine? That's fucking genius. That's fucking hilarious. The rest of the sound machine isn't going to. So I said to my boys, I said, yo, man, let's go. I said, yo, you know, my brother's hemmed up. So we fucking get in the car. We pull up. Pull in the parking lot. We get out like, yo, what's up, man? You know, them dudes had left already. They had left. So my brother's sitting there. He's like, yeah, no, they left. Everything's fine. But that's when he said, yeah, you know, and all his friends were behind him. Like, he goes, you know, he's like, who's that? You know, like when we showed up, but he's like, yeah, like he goes, look, man, look what the fuck I'm working with. And you just had to sit
there. Have been slaughtered. They would have been slaughtered. Look what I'm working with.
He had all these, the whole sound machine behind him. That's hilarious, dude. They were all just sitting there, like, you know. But then, like, I used to go out a lot. Because my brother's type was more masculine. I talk about that in principal's office, mm-hmm. my special. But he was more masculine. So my brother dated some dudes like that were, you know, he had this one guy. This guy could throw hands, man. But, you know.
I wish there'd be some badass dudes in the NBA or the NFL that came out were gay. You know what I mean? Like, I do wish there was a beast that came out to change that stereotype of what was behind your brother for support. Yeah. You know what I mean? That shit.
Hey man, there's some dudes that are probably.
Fuck yeah,
but yeah, no,
I used to see gay dudes at the gym all the time, and I mean, yoked, stacked. I would never, you know.
Dude, when I worked at the Cheesecake Factory, this brother came in, looked like fucking Wesley Snipes, right? And he was like, and he was looking at me like, yo, man. And he had his dude was like this little gay Asian dude,
yeah.
But he's like, hey man, he's like, yo, like he was kicking it to me like I like you know. He's like, yo, what's to do around here, man? And he's staring at me. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, like what?
Like, you know, because this is Hollywood. That could be his agent. You know what I mean?
That could be it, right.
100%. He's like, hey, man, give me your phone number. And I'm like, nah, dude. Then I'm like, fucking at least ask me for it at least.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Don't fucking demand it. But yeah, man, I was like, you can tell this dude's been through some shit. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you one time it tripped me out. I saw... It was two gangbanger looking dudes. I mean, hard looking dudes. And then we're sitting at the bar. They're just drinking whatever. And they just start making out. And I couldn't.
Yeah, like, it throws you for a loop.
That threw me for a loop. Two men kissing, not a problem. But they were, you know, teardrop tattoos and neck tattoos. And I was like, what the f-? And that blew a stereotype, too. You know what I mean? Like,
but I got to be honest with you, man. Most people, I mean, look, people make comments. And, you know, but on a whole, I mean, like, every time I was out with my brother, there was one other time we were at a bar because my stepsister worked at Hooters. So we went over there to drink. And then my brother had his boyfriend with him. Or so, no, it wouldn't. It was just some dude he was clipping, right? Clipping. And then I came with my boy Boff, who he played at Central Florida. His offensive tackle. He's a big kid. But Boff was a tough kid, but he's a very level headed guy. Like he's an offensive lineman. You know, they're
They're the smarter guys.
And then my brother's friend was. But as we pulled up to the bar, I could feel something was uncomfortable, and then. I could tell my brother was like, oh, fuck, right? Because when I showed up, because I was a hothead when I was younger, and then I hear him laughing behind me, and I could tell, and I said, what the fuck's going on? He said, those guys behind us are being assholes, but Brett, don't start anything. And as they're talking to me, I put my arm over him like this, like we're dating.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. I put my head on his shoulder, and he's going, Brett, stop. Then the dude made another comment, and then I turn around and, you know, I had a couple words with him. And then, you know, my brother was pissed about it, but that's probably the only time. I maybe two or three times. But other than that, you know, it was more fun, dude.
Yeah. He sounds like a really good big brother, actually.
Yeah, dude. He was fucking, that guy was the best, man.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, HelloFresh. Get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh lets you skip the trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking fun, easy, and affordable. HelloFresh's recipes are so delicious. They offer so many to choose from each week to help you break out of your recipe rut. There's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian and family friendly, aka picky eater recipes every week. HelloFresh offers fresh, high quality ingredients for a super flavorful experience every week. Over 90% of ingredients are sourced directly from growers to ensure the freshest recipes are delivered to your door. Save time and stress effortlessly. HelloFresh offers contactless delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. And HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes or even 20 minutes with some of their quick recipe options. Go to HelloFresh.com/Honeydew80 and use the code Honeydew80 to get a total of $80 off, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. That's HelloFresh.com/Honeydew80. Our next sponsor is Stamps.com. Now, I go back a long way with Stamps.com. When I was doing the Crab Feast and first started merch, I used Stamps.com all the time to scale, sealing them up, sending them off. It was awesome. The only reason I stopped was because thanks to you guys, it got too much to handle. So I loved it. They've been great. And right now, as we slowly adjust to a new normal, we still need to be smart about how we do business. All right. So luckily, there's stamps.com to make things easier. Thousands of small business owners have discovered the benefits of stamps.com in recent months. They've been able to keep their businesses running and avoid the crowds at the post office all from their own computers. With stamps.com, you can print postage on demand and avoid going to the post office. And you'll save money with discounted rates you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com also offers UPS services. Shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub, Primary One, Joe Avenue. With discounts up to 62%, and no residential surcharges. Stamps.com brings all the mailing and shipping services you need right to your computer in the comfort of your home or office. Whether you're a small business sending invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or just working from home and need to mail stuff, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, you just leave it for your mail carrier, you schedule a pickup, or you drop it in a mailbox. It's that simple. And like I said, with stamps.com, you get great discounts too. 5 cents off every stamp and up to 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. Right now, my listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Honeydew. That's stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter Honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do. When did you clear the air on making fun of him for being overweight? Like, you
said, that's what I'm trying to tell him, man. And this is what the world needs to know. Straight guys, we bond through insulting each other. We bond through arguing with each other. You know what I mean? We bond through all that shit. Like, you know, people are really close. Men are close when they're fucking shitting on each other. And that's what we do. We shit on each other in each other's face. But when your boy's not around is when you talk him up.
That's what this show is, kicking you when you're at your lowest. That's what this show is. Look, my cousin got married, right? This one still makes me laugh. He was a cop. He's on the force, brand new on the force. He's in a high speed chase, like his second day in the car with his partner. Some lady cuts him off. Car rolls. They flip. He's got his leg shattered. He's got to get pins in it or whatever. He's got this walking boot. He's about to get married, right? So he's at the altar or whatever. He gets emotional and, you know, he cries a little bit. And then later that night at the reception, there's this fucking, there's this, in his defense, it should have been marked. There was just this step down that you couldn't see. You could not fucking see it. This motherfucker hits it with that foot. He goes down. He's on the ground screaming. He's got that tear, whatever that fucking shit is called, coming out of his eye. And I'm just like, I just go over to him like, hey, you quiet. You cried twice at your wedding day. You fucking bitch. And we all were just, nobody helped him up. But like, you help us. You said I do. You help his ass up. It was, man, like, shit on you immediately.
Like, even
dude,
with Scotty, man.
Timmy,
like,
cried twice at his wedding.
Like, my stepfather, they used to break his balls, but like, he'd call him like Liberace. Hey, Liberace, get the fuck over here.
Yeah, right.
That's how Italians insult people. Yeah, they just call you famous people from your group.
Famous for you.
Hey, Richard Simmons, dance the fuck over here really quick and get me the fucking, get me a glass out of the counter, you know?
That's exactly what it is.
But I was going to say, though, but after that, man, it sends you in a fucking, after that, man, because we were very close. I mean, and that's the other thing, too, man. It's like,
I just love hearing that you're, it's important. It's your brother. Like, you're accepting of it. You're not fucking.
It's not even a fucking question,
but
man.
So many people sit across here and talk about how they weren't accepted, or what, their brothers weren't this, weren't that.
What I'm saying, though, man, like I said, everybody I was raised with, every crew. I mean, look, man, would I have preferred him to be straight? Fuck yeah, because then he'd be alive. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
You know, he'd be 50-something years old, so. You know what I mean? I would have had my mom. He could have been a grandfather. You know what I'm saying? But that's not who he was. And, I never thought of it any other way. That's just how I know him. But then again, he may not have been alive. He could have been he could have been worse than me. Yeah. You don't know, man. But anybody that's your family. And not only that, man, that's the way See, look, man, people are born that way. And if that's the way they're born, that's the way God intended them to be. And God don't make fucking mistakes. You know what I mean? But getting back to the other thing, though, when the other thing I almost did one night, this was bad, man. I was going to break him out of the funeral home. I was all fucked up, man.
What do you mean? Like
going and fucking
the viewing you were going to get?
No. Before, when I knew he was on the slab, before they fucking they did that, I was hammered, bro.
Before they embalmed him and everything.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
I don't know what I was going to do. Weekend at Bernie's or some shit? I was fucking out of my
house. What kind of car were you driving, bro?
I wasn't, man.
If you didn't have a pickup truck, I wouldn't.
No, here's the worst part. Here's the fucking worst part. My buddy was driving. And he's like, all right, let's do it.
I don't know if that's a good friend or a bad friend. I don't know. You convinced him to do it.
I wanted to get him out of there, man. It just bothered me, dude. That fucking bothered me.
Yeah.
But see, again, my family deals with humor. So getting back to when my father passed.
I wanted to ask you. So
I want to talk about it. So this is where comedy comes from, man. So the night he died, my mom, we found out, and my mom had to tell us. She was fucking, you know, bawling. She's like, let's go see a movie, all right? And, you know, there was a comedy.
I can't wait to hear.
So we get to the movies, and
give me 4 tickets for Porky's.
No, it's even worse. Yeah. So we get to the theater, and this is typical my mom, right? Because my mom was very naive. We get to the theater. We're sitting in the theater. It's me, Scotty, Keith. Keith is too young. And it was a comedy. It was like the number one comedy. And it was called Kiss Me Goodbye. And it's with Jimmy Caan and Sally Field. And the whole movie starts off with the guy's dead. He's dying. And he comes back from the dead. And it's just about a guy who's dead. And my mom just starts crying. Oh, she's like, God. I don't know. We fucking just started laughing. We're like, really, Mom? This is the movie you picked? And we, you know, we were, you're not poor. I use the term poor. We were not that well off, but we were never poor. There was always food on the table, you know, but we weren't well off. So we had all of our shit in the theater. You know, your mom would come in. Like, my mother would bring like a 2-liter bottle of soda. You know, you bring your own candy. Right, yeah. Like, people, it would be quiet. You just hear like, you know, like. We had like all the wax candy that, you know, remember those that were coming to thin? They were like a dollar, you know, so, and we were just sitting there and then, you know, I just remember like just laughing and, but we always joked around, man. Always.
So your brother is 14 at the time he tells you your dad passes.
Well, he was there. He came and got us. And I fucking knew too, man. That's the other thing.
So where was your dad? I know
he was in New Jersey. He was up in Jersey. Yeah.
And you had no real contact with him throughout that, or you would see him a little bit?
No,
or?
We did. We did. You know, we weren't, we were kept away from him because he had mental issues.
Okay.
He started, he had schizophrenia, but he had, you know, he got in some trouble and,
what did he do? Like, how did your parents meet?
They met, my real father was just, you know, regular guy. And then, they met on a blind date, I think.
Oh yeah.
But you know, they're all from the same area in Jersey. My mom was from Teaneck Ridgefield Park. My dad was from Leoni at the time, right near Fort Lee. So they all knew each other. My mother originally was from Jersey City and that area as well. So, you know, the 1950s shit. You know, he wore a leather jacket, drove a bike, you know. He was a rough guy, man. My father was a rough dude. But he was a smart man, very smart man.
So what happened?
He had schizophrenia. But it's an interesting story about him, though, man. I mean, he became very successful. My dad became a lobbyist. He lied. He said he went to college. Then he became a lobbyist. I mean, you know, it's like... I don't know if you don't know your father or not, but it's like...
I did for 16. He died when I was 16.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if you don't... When you're younger, it's almost like a legend of somebody. Like, you don't really know him, but you always hear stories about him.
Right, yeah.
It's like the legend of your father. Even though, you know, he fucked everything and...
yeah.
Dude, I'm working on a story now about when the cops came to arrest him. He was hiding in the basement. But, But he, you know, he was mentally ill, man. He was a sick dude. And, you know, you don't realize that. You watch it in front of you. I talk about that in my last special. But, you know, he would hear voices and shit. He would ramble. It was almost like Charlie Sheen. You know when Charlie Sheen would get that crazy look?
Yeah.
you know, and my dad smoked a shit ton of weed, and I think he did other, he had to have, but that was later on, which is why I never tried weed in my life. I never smoked anything, but he jumped off the George Washington Bridge it connects Fort Lee to Manhattan.
Yeah.
So it's right there. So yeah, that's how he killed himself.
Holy shit. He jumped off that fucking bridge?
Yeah, he just took a leap.
What the fuck? He just walked out there and jumped off?
See, that fucked with me too, man. Because the psychology behind it, I was watching this thing on the Golden Gate Bridge. And all those people that jumped.
Yes.
They said their first thought was that live. That they, what the fuck was I doing? So, you know, that bothered me.
So what happens then? What happens after your dad passes?
You know, he did it. He did it with the intent that we were going to get money, the insurance money. And then again, man, funds were cut off when we were 18. And, you know, my mom still had, when my brother turned 18, she lost his money,
right?
You know,
yeah,
from Social Security. And then, so, you know, things were tough, man. Things were tough, but you know, you get through it. But yeah, no, I he was a really smart guy. My father, really smart.
In what
like
way?
Everybody that said that knew him. I mean, okay, so he lied. He said he went to college and he worked his way up and became one of the top lobbyists in the state of West Virginia. That's where we were living at the time.
Oh, okay. Well, where?
Charleston.
Okay. I've been there. Yeah, I know Charleston.
And then, you know, he went downhill after that. But nobody knew he was going crazy. I knew. I kind of knew.
What did you start seeing?
Motherfucker like, staring at you all cock-eyed and shit. You're like, what the fuck's this dude?
You just catch him
staring. Yeah, it was just...
I have a cousin who's a paranoid schizophrenic, and I've talked about it here on Rogan and everything, and it's different, man. You do see it. Like, there are times when I knew he was on his meds, and he'd start telling family secrets, and everybody would be like, don't listen to him. And I'm like, no. I see it. I can see it. He's clear. He's right there. I know he's with it right now. And then there are other times where it's that just lost look that, you're just like, man, there's nothing. There's no one in there right now. And I would see that from time to time. And I'd be like, so I know that look you're talking about.
But yeah, it you know, you feel bad for him, but you don't realize that as a kid. I just remember being frustrated that I couldn't see him.
How old was he when he passed?
38.
Oh, he's young.
Yeah.
Oh, that's young, dude.
Yeah. He's mad young. But like, I remember being frustrated that I can't go see him. And then you get resentful, but you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, why can't I see dad? And then my mom's like, just, you know, and you get mad at her. Like, right. You think she's keeping him from you. But yeah, I don't know. The guy's fucking nuts.
You sound like you had a great mom.
My mom's the best.
And I say all the time.
Carol's the best.
What's up, Carol? Parenting is a long-term game, man. It's you're resenting your mom at that time, and now you look back that she's protecting you. And,
it's not like I hate her. It's like I resent her like she won't give me ice cream.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but it doesn't pay dividends until, you know, hopefully you've done the right job with your kid and they see it all.
I'll tell you right now, if it wasn't for my grandparents, done.
What do you mean?
My nanny and poppy, man, they took us in. They raised us.
They did?
You know, my mom would have to work, so we would stay with them. And
what were they like?
Oh, God, bro. My grandmother.
This your mom's parents?
My mom's parents. Yes. Because, you know, that's what happens. You split, you go with the mine. They're all Italian.
I had my grandma raised us too.
You know what
I
mean? So, you're sleeping, you know, where we would sleep wherever we had room in that place. But my grandmother, man, they always made sure. Like, I remember my grandfather, very proud Sicilian man. You know, he's like, it's Easter. And those kids have to wear Easter suits, you know, and he would always get us the Easter suits.
Yeah, we used
suits.
To have to dress up in Easter suits and Easter Sunday mass.
There was like,
that.
That's where I was instilled with that pride. And my grandmother was just such a wise woman, loving. I mean, church, went to church during the week.
Yeah, right.
It's like, what? Why are you on a Wednesday?
Yeah, I was just about to say, Grandma, why are you going Wednesday night?
What's going on? It's like some saint day. And she prayed.
You don't even know. Yeah.
Every night you pray for everybody. You pray for all the people in the world.
She would do the rosary every night.
The novena when something was going on. But, you know, it was just very, look, dude, at the end of the day, man, I'll take my childhood over anything.
Isn't that, I love hearing that. Me too. I would, if I had to go back and do all that shit again, I would absolutely do it again. The loss, all of it. It was worth it. Those people were worth it. I look now and think, man, that was my 16 years with my father was worth every second of that. All right. So now I want to ask you, because this is your first time here, especially after all the stuff we've talked about and all the stuff.
I will say really quick though.
Go ahead.
That all... like right now, when I was an adult, it helped me through everything. Like that whole childhood of you know, you just, all your trials and tribulations eventually make sense. All of my shit made sense the minute I stepped on stage. The lowest point after my brother died, I mean, I was a grown man. I had zero on my account. I stopped working. I got fired. I had to be home. I had to be with my mom. And I remember I went out to LA already. I was already doing comedy, dude. Like, I was at the store, everything, you know? And I was still, I got fired from the Cheesecake Factory. And I was standing there, and, you know, you go to your friends, your boys, so they know I needed cash. So, like, look, man, you know, you can go one of two ways. So I says, you know, look, man, I'll just work security at the club for, you know, one of my buddies on the club. So I'm bouncing at the club, and people are coming up to me going, aren't, you know, I thought you were doing comedy. And you know, it's funny, and it never bothered me because I observe the look of satisfaction in some people's faces when they think you're failing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing, man. And yeah, I recently just went through a divorce, and you know, people don't realize what we put into this. So I've been doing it 23 years. And in that 23 years, from the night I got on stage after my brother passed to, I mean, dude, I was delivering pizzas at fucking 31, man. I'm a grown man. You know, yeah. You know what I mean? Can I tell, like, there's a quick story.
Yeah, of course. The first time
I was on national TV doing comedy, I had to deliver pizzas. So you shoot during the day. I couldn't get off of work. It was when the Lakers were winning everything.
Oh man, nothing kills comedy shows. It was fucking awful. Playoffs.
Yeah. So I'm delivering pizzas, and I had this 97 Ford Escort that if you made lefts, it would fucking stall out. So like, by the way, I'm in my 30s. Yeah. I'm not a kid. So I had to go here. I have to make a right, and then a right, and then another right. Overshoot that motherfucker to make a right. So I'm waiting. My boss is like, Brett, you know, we're slammed. And I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. My brother Keith was going to record it anyways with the VCR. I'll watch it later. Dude, I get to the dude's house. I open the fucking door, and I'm on fucking TV.
Nah.
I swear to God. I'm standing there with a fucking large pie, and the dude's staring at me. The look on his face was like, oh my God, how cool. This is the most depressing fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's also the most LA shit you could have happen to. Open the door and the pizza guy is on your TV.
And I remember going to him, you know, I made a joke. I'm like, I guess I'm fast, right? So I said, you mind? And we sat there and I watched. And
nah,
I watched,
that's how you watched it.
Yeah, I watched the last 3 minutes. Dude didn't laugh once. I was embarrassed. I got the fuck out, dude. I made like 18 rights and got the fuck out of it. 18 rights. Dude, another time I'm on the plane, and my half hour on Comedy Central was on, and I'm sitting, you know, and you know, sometimes when I don't like to talk to the people, because if they ask you what you do, I'm like, I'm a teacher.
I don't say comedian either. Right. I do not.
And they ask you, well, how come I don't know who you are? And why are you in coach?
What have you been on? Yeah. Why are you in coach?
Do you write your own material?
Why are you sitting next to me? Do you know, I did stand up once. I'm like, here we go.
Do you know when they list whoever the fuck your friends are? You're like, yeah, I know them. They're in first class right now. So
I'm opening for him. He's up there.
Yeah, he's right up there. So, but now the dude's watching my special. So I'm like this, and I'm trying to see.
And has he put two and two together yet?
No, because I'm like, oh, fuck it. Then he just goes. He just fucking changed that motherfucker. I'm like, motherfucker, I want to go, hey, man. What are the odds? No, but the shit that we go through, and when you finally get your break. You know what I mean? And you're finally on something. How awful is that? That somebody pulls up a tweet from 20 years ago or whatever the fuck, and they just take it all away. Just like that. You know? That's why when you build that foundation, like, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's an evolution. I'm not the same dude at 20 that I was at 30.
No, I mean, look.
And now I'm middle-aged, dude. I'm 40. I'm in my mid to late 40s.
I'm 47. If I was the same person I was at 18, what a piece of shit. I mean, people, here's the other thing, man. And I'm with you on this. You have to make mistakes. A lot of people need to make a mistake to understand their ignorance or understand that something's wrong. And then The apology is the change in behavior moving forward. You don't always have to be like, I'm sorry. Like, hey, here, the I'm sorry is you called out the behavior. You're right. I corrected it. And it's never happening again. That's how you move forward. You don't, everything is, please allow people to be imperfect. Please, the, how else do you learn?
And, but that when you go through life, when you go through some shit early on, it helps you later on. And I, you know, like I was, you know, comedy has cost me a lot. It's cost, you know, I was, it's cost me everything.
Yeah.
Even my wife. And it had nothing
it's
to do.
It's a selfish
But I meant it had
job.
Nothing to do with anything other than you're on the road 30 weeks and, you know, you drift apart. Things happen. You know, I meant, you know, people disconnect
yeah.
and, you know, you care about each other, but you just give up a lot for it. And I wouldn't change one fucking thing, dude. That's my high point is stand up.
All right. Of it. So now.
All of it.
Advice to your 16-year-old self.
Relax. You're going to get pussy. You're going to get a lot of pussy. Just chill. Don't fucking chase it. Yeah. I would honestly say pay attention in films, man, for football. I was just such a reactatory player on the field that if I would have really studied films, I would have fucking think I could have went a little further.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That would just, I don't know what I'd tell him. I'd just say, buckle in, man. It's fucking, dude, like I said, man, I've been reading, there's a philosophy called Stoicism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that some things change the way you think and then some things confirm the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
I've always viewed the failures and the, you know, the sad points in your life as, you're supposed to embrace them. You're supposed to love them. And, you know, a lot of my friends, I was always surrounded by drugs, man. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I've had 7 of my closest friends have been in prison for a while. And 2 are left.
Damn.
It's so funny, too, man. Like, when you get around normal people, you know what I mean? And you know, like, there's people I know that don't know anybody that's ever been to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But when you're, and I talk about that in the principal's office, when you grow up in dysfunction, you think everybody does until you right. meet normal people, you know, and you're like, you know, really? This is absurd to you? But there's a scene in Braveheart where he spits the morphine out. And people used to say, you know, even at my lowest times, I stayed away from all that shit. One, I knew I was afraid I'd be addicted to it because I had that crazy gene in my family. 2, the smell of marijuana, because my dad smoked it all the fucking time. I never wanted to try it. I don't think it's wrong at all. Like now I actually like the smell, but back then it just turned me off to it. But when he spits that morphine out and he's like, I want to have my wits about me. People that start to self-medicate to get away from the pain, take that motherfucker in, take it all in, absorb it, make it work for you. Enjoy it, love it, respect it with the same respect that you do the good.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because it's all, you signed up for this shit.
You need it. You need those. You need.
But you signed up for it.
Yeah.
Before you came down from heaven and you're up there and they said, hey, listen, kid, this is what's going to happen. You want in? And you're like, fucking buckle me in, motherfucker. Let's go. That's what I believe.
I know that's what
you know what
believe.
I mean? So like, you know, I'm in. Let's do it. I'm in it to win it, man. And if this has happened, this is what happens. Because at the end of the day, everybody has the same fate, bro.
We're all gone.
We're all fucking going to die.
And we are all going to die.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I just, you know, you just do what you love, man. Everybody always say too, is it the destination or the journey? It's the people that you're on the journey with, man.
Dude, I agree with that.
Our crew people, is fucking great, man.
I've met some wonderful fucking people.
Hell yeah, man.
For real. Well, thank you, dude. Thank you for opening up. Thank you for being honest.
Go to brettcomedy.com, Brett with 1 T, comedy.com if you want to watch Principal's Office. I actually, when I self-distributed it, I just set it up where people can watch it for free. If you want to leave an email, leave an email. If you want to buy it, you can buy it for $5.
Cobra Kai again.
September 28th. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. August 28th.
August 28th on Netflix.
On Netflix.
Great. Anything else?
No. That's about it, man.
All right,
and
bro.
Keep supporting live comedy, you know?
All right, man. Thank you for doing this for real.
You got it, brother.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.